So I am going to begin a series today, a brand new series called Freedom. And often when I begin a series, I give you an overview, but today I'm just going to go straight into one of the different points because I don't want to overwhelm you. So we're going to begin talking about freedom, and specifically we're going to talk about freedom from being enslaved to other people. Now, I know for a lot of you might be thinking, well, there's no slaves in Canada, especially not Alberta. Have you ever worked in the oil field? No, just leave that alone. There are no slaves is what a lot of us would think. However, I believe that some people are not free. And so we're going to use that term slave kind of loosely, but we're going to help you see there may be areas you still need to be free in. And I believe that God wants his people completely free. You see, yeah, that's worth clapping about. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Christ wants his people free. And the challenge here is do not let yourself be burdened with a yoke of slavery. In other words, you have to make a conscious effort to be free. I'm going to begin with that. Now, let me ask the question today. What is freedom to you? What do you think freedom is? When I say the word freedom, what comes to mind? Maybe for a young person, freedom is school's out, woohoo, no more teachers, no more books. No, we won't go there. Maybe for some teachers here, summer's is like, woohoo, no more students, no more whatever, right? But freedom can mean different things to different people. For some people, maybe they feel freedom means when I retire. When I retire, I'm going to be free. Maybe for some, freedom means if I can just do whatever I want and nobody tells me anything. That's a bad definition of freedom, okay? Especially if you're married. Okay, anyways. Freedom is actually not just being able to do whatever you want. I'm just going to say that, but I'm just bringing this out. I want you to think a little bit. What would you call freedom if I had more money? Has anybody ever thought that? Oh, I'd be free if I could just win the lottery. Oh, pastor's going to preach on the lottery again. Oh, no. Did you know money doesn't bring freedom? Money can actually trap people. Money is simply a tool that you can use for good or bad, but money doesn't bring freedom on its own. Retirement also doesn't bring freedom. I mean, it can make you not have to go to work so often, but true freedom begins inside. The definition of freedom from a Bible dictionary says like this: to be free, released, liberated from various kinds of ownership, confinement, and distress, such as prison confinement, political domination and oppression, physical sickness, release from a contract. God's release of the sinner from sin, or the opposite of a slave. So today we're going to use that term as an opposite. The opposite of a slave is to be free. You see, a slave was owned by somebody. And specifically today, we're going to look at being a slave to other people. Now, you can be a slave to different things, but today we're going to stick to the one point. Obviously, there are still places in the world where people are actual slaves. Someone owns them or bought them. And many have heard of the horrible things that happen when people have kidnapped or stolen and sold as slaves to do horrible things. Their lives truly actually owned. And of course, many years slavery was a thing all over the world where people were owned by somebody. And it's not okay. And yet today, there are people, and yes, even believers, who are not completely free. And they end up being slaves, yes, to other people. But let's look at what Scripture says and some stories from Scripture about this topic. Of course, we know from Scripture, God's people became slaves to the Egyptians. God's people, Israel, had moved to Egypt during famine when Joseph was, you know, the next in command. But over many years, they became slaves. They became owned, and the Pharaoh became afraid of the Israelites. And he began to oppress them, and he said, there's too many of them. We need to kill their sons. And he told the nurses of the people, if a son is being delivered, kill it, because we don't want them to expand anymore. And that didn't work because the nurses said, no, we're not going to do that. So then he told all the Egyptian people, if you see a baby boy, throw it in the river. That's a horrible amount of oppression, isn't it? But they were slaves, they were owned, and they begin to cry out to God. And the Lord heard their cry. Exodus 3 and verse 7, we read this. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. You see, the Lord wants his people free. You will see this all through Scripture. He wants his people free, but often they end up in slavery because of their decisions. Sometimes it's forced, sometimes they've made decisions to turn away from God, and they end up in slavery. But God truly wanted his people free, and he made a way for them to be free. You see, the Lord said, I am going to choose a person to come and to lead my people out of slavery. And he chooses Moses, who has a history. He was a baby at the time they were throwing babies in the river. And his mom said, nope, they're not going to take my baby and throw him in the river. I'm going to hide him. And she made a basket of reeds and hid him on the river, floating. And obviously she came up with a plan, and she put him floating where he would be found by somebody who could protect him, the Pharaoh's daughter. The Pharaoh's daughter finds him and ends up raising him, but Moses lets his anger get a hold of him, and he kills somebody, and he flees for his life into the desert, where he thinks he's just going to look after sheep and hide out for the rest of his life. But God has a different plan, and he says, Moses, you're going to go and you're going to lead my people out. And Moses says, no, I can't. I don't talk very well. I'm not a good speaker. I can't talk. Don't send me. But God says, you can go, Moses. I'm sending you. I'll give you what you need. He complains a little more. And God says, okay, I'm going to send your brother Aaron with you. He'll talk for you, and you will tell him what to say. I'm going to shorten the story a little, but Moses finally listens. They go, they take God's people out, and they end up coming to a Red Sea. They are captive still, but they're now at the Red Sea. And God says, stretch out your rod. He opens the sea, the waves, the wall of water on each side they go through, and then the water crashes back down on their enemies, and they finally think and feel, we're free. We're actually no longer slaves. You see, they'd went out into the wilderness kind of feeling free, but not really. But now they feel free. And in Exodus 15, verse 20, we read this about the celebration that took place. It says, then Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women went out after her with tambourines and dancing. And Miriam sang to them, sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider have been thrown into the sea. They were dancing. Hundreds of them, thousands of people dancing with their tambourines. Woo! The horse and the rider, there is something about being set free that makes people want to dance. And I got to tell you this. Sometimes we take for granted what the Lord has given us. Sometimes we forget how amazing a thing he's done for us. And sometimes we take for granted our freedom to worship. And we begin to count it as nothing or little to the point where, well, do I really need to go to church? Does it really matter? I can just sit on my nice comfy chair and listen to some music. Whoa, your freedom to worship doesn't matter anymore? Never take it for granted. When you have opportunity, go and worship. Church, we are so blessed. We are free to worship. Walk in your freedom with your head held high. Worship like you mean it. Celebrate when you have opportunity to celebrate. Dance when you have opportunity to dance. Don't be held a prisoner of, oh, I don't want nobody to look at me. Are you free? I said, are you free? Oh, some people here, are you free? Are you free? Let's never take for granted his blessings and his freedom and his goodness. And if the old enemy is trying to squish you down so you can't be joyful anymore, so you don't want to move, so you don't care, shake it off and say, I'm free and I'll never take it for granted. Amen. Now, I began with my first point about slavery and being enslaved to others. Some people will try to make you a slave to do their work. Now, having a job does not make you a slave. I need to say that, okay? I don't want everybody here quitting their job after this message. It'll be bad for you and bad for the church. Having a job does not make you a slave. Having a business does not make you a slave. But if you are continually forced to overwork and you can't say no, you may be moving towards the slave mentality. If you are afraid to say no to your boss, if there is fear involved and you can never ask for a day off, you may be slightly moving and need to be set free. It is amazing to me that people who love the Lord so much don't feel they can ask for a day off to worship. Did you know you can in this country? And you can't be fired for asking for time off. There's laws. Interesting. You're like, yeah, but if they don't like you, they find a different way. Hold on. Let me say it again. You're not completely free if you feel like you cannot speak with your supervisor or your boss. I'm not asking anybody here to be disrespectful, but I am telling you, don't live as a slave in a free world. Don't allow somebody above you, and you know what? Here's the thing, many times they don't even know that's how you're feeling. And we're gonna get into that a little further on about how do we do this? How do we be free? So no, if you have a job, you're not a slave, but I want you to never go so far to this point where you're letting somebody run your life, where your job is controlling your life. You see, let me say it clear and don't forget it. Your boss does not own you. Let me say this for the business people. Your business does not own you. You own it. Do you know it's easy to get owned by a business? How do I not be owned by it? Well, just like an employee, sometimes you have to say no. No, I can't. Can I hire somebody to? Or do I have to say, not today? I want to encourage you this morning to live free. Do not be a slave to anybody. We're going to get into some other things in the next few weeks because today we're focusing just on allowing ourselves to be slave to others or maybe being pressured to be. Let me say this, if you work somewhere and there is an underlying threatening tone, if you dare take time off or you dare say no, you're going to be fired, you probably need to be set free. And I'll tell you the first step, we're going to get to this more in the end, have a meeting. It might all be in your mind and you just need to talk to somebody. You know what? Bosses don't know everything. They don't read minds. Maybe they don't even know you're frustrated or struggling. Talk. But we're going to talk more about that at the end of this message. Other people, this is my second point about other people. Other people can make us slaves to fulfill their needs. So we're going beyond work a little bit here. And I'll explain a little bit more. But let me give you a couple people from Scripture who were made slaves, and it wasn't just for work. One of those people was Daniel. Daniel was a young man who was made a slave to give wise counsel. So it really wasn't for his work ability. It was for his wisdom or his brain. That was Daniel, and let me read how it began. Daniel 1, verse 3. The king ordered Ashpenaz, his chief of staff, to bring to the palace some of the young men of Judah's royal family and other noble families who had been brought to Babylon as captives. Everybody say captive. Select only strong, healthy, good-looking young men, he said. Make sure they are well-versed in every branch of learning, are gifted with knowledge and good judgment, and are suited to serve in the royal palace. Train these young men in the language and literature of Babylon. Now, I just want to say after reading that, I have no idea what good looks has to do with wisdom. But anyways, it was in there. Listen, Daniel was a captive, a slave. His country had been taken over. There is a good chance that all of Daniel's family had been killed. And here he is, a captive, and he was taken captive for his wisdom and apparently his good looks. Anyhow, there he is. And we read the story and we're like, wow, the things that Daniel did for God, but he did them in a place where he was not free. And I'm going to say more about that in a second, but let me give you another person in Scripture who was also a slave and was enslaved not for her ability to work, and that is Esther. Esther chapter 2 and verse 2, let me read it. So his personal attendant suggested, I guess I got to go back a bit. If you don't know the story, you might be like, what's going on? So the king is in need of a queen, and he's in need of a queen because his queen Vashti is no longer his wife, and the reason is because he asked her to come dance before all of his noblemen, and they were in the middle of a party and drunk and everything else, and oh, you need to come dance because you're so beautiful, and she told him no. That's actually a good thing to tell him. But the king's advisors were like, this is really bad, king. If you don't do something, all the women through the land are going to be disrespecting their husbands. This was a different day and age, but anyways. And the king, of course, likes this kind of advice. He's like, oh, I never thought of that. So you need to remove her as your queen. So he removes her as queen, and then a little while later, he's like, oh, my queen, I got no wife. So they give him another good suggestion, not, and this is what they say. Let us search the empire to find beautiful young virgins for the king. Let the king appoint agents in each province to bring these beautiful young women into the royal harem at the fortress of Susa. Haggai, the king's eunuch in charge of the harem, will see that they are all given beauty treatments. After that, the young woman who most pleases the king will be made queen instead of Vashti. This advice was very appealing to the king, so he put the plan into effect. Esther was taken captive, not on her own will. Now she realized she has no say in the matter, so she has the best attitude, but her people are in a country where they are captives and slaves. And she is taken simply for her looks. And you know, we talk about the story, and sometimes we maybe even glamorize it. Esther was amazing. She did this. She saved her people. Yes, she did, but she was a slave. And she had been chosen as a slave simply to be a good-looking wife for the king. Now, thankfully, God used both of these people, Daniel and Esther, mightily in their captivity. But do you know, it was not God's perfect plan for them to be slaves in the first place. His perfect plan was for his people to be free. You say, how do I know that? Because he set Israel free and he sent prophets again and again and said, don't worship false gods. Don't stray and do your own thing. If you do, it will go bad. You will become captives to the very enemy whose gods you're worshiping. Don't do it. Stay free. But they chose their own way. And church, thankfully, Daniel and Esther stood for the God and their principles. But his true number one plan was for his people to be completely free. And if they'd have listened to what he asked, they would have never been in the places where we read these stories. God wants you free. God wants you completely free. And he's made a way for you to be free. Now let me say this clearly. Choosing to help others and fulfilling needs does not make us a slave. But if we are forced or controlled to do so, we may need to be set free. Now let me say this clearly as well. Being married does not make you a slave. Okay? All the married people should clap right now. I think that's important. You need to hear this. There's some single people should clap too. Anyways, being married does not make you a slave. Being married as God designed it is for two people to choose to love each other because they want to. And if you're in a marriage relationship and you feel like a slave, there's a problem. It can be a problem on either side, but there's a problem. And thankfully, God has a solution. You see, being married is two people who can communicate with one another and who work together because they choose it, not because they're controlled. They choose to hear one another and to work together. Spouses, do you take time to talk to each other about what you're feeling, what you're going through? Because if one or the other is feeling like I'm a slave, you gotta sort some things out. You gotta listen. You gotta take time. My wife shared a post with me about marriage, and there was a husband and the wife, and the husband was talking, and he was like, dear, I hear you. I agree with you. I completely think you're right. And the wife said, I haven't said anything yet. And he said, I know. I just thought I'd save time. Okay, that is not the listening we're talking about. That's not really listening. But let's listen, let's hear, let's try to understand. Do you know that in most relationships, I'm saying most, not all, but most relationships where one of the spouses is feeling like it's just horrible and one is feeling like everything's wonderful, it's usually the guy who feels like everything's wonderful. I'm not saying we don't catch on right away, but we don't catch on right away. So how is that going to be different? It's talking, it's communicating. And men, it's listening. Now, it can work the other way as well. But listening, understanding, hey, neither of us is a slave. Each of us is here because we want to be, and we're going to make this awesome. Who wants an awesome marriage? Uh-huh, sure. Of course we do. Making an awesome marriage takes work and communication and listening and understanding, hey, we're both two free people who have chosen to be together under God. And you know what? Even though you've chosen to be together under God, you're still free. Don't ever let the enemy tell you different. Don't ever tell each other different. Okay? There's some marriage counseling. Okay, I got to keep moving. For those who are not married, you know, just smile right now, okay? Just hallelujah. Okay. We can also make ourselves slaves to others if we are people pleasers and say yes to everything. So we're moving from where it's a little bit controlled to where all of a sudden, this is us. And church, this is a big thing. I've seen way too many people who have become slaves, not because others made them that way, but because They were people pleasers, and they could not say no. We see people in Scripture like this, and one of them that comes to mind and sort of connects with our stories is Aaron. You see, Moses and Aaron were leading together, but Moses was the leader, Aaron was the mouthpiece. Moses went up in the mountain. It was the time where God was giving him the Ten Commandments, and he was there for a long time. And the people said, well, Moses has gone so long, maybe he's not coming back, you know, maybe God killed him. They had really different ideas about God. And so they go to Aaron. And in Exodus 32, verse 1, this is what they say. It says, when the people saw how long it was taking Moses to come back down the mountain, they gathered around Aaron. Come on, they said, make us some gods who can lead us. We don't know what happened to this fellow Moses who brought us here from the land of Egypt. So Aaron said, I think that's a really bad idea. No, he didn't. Well, I don't know about this, guys. No, he didn't. Aaron simply said, okay, let's do this. Aaron was a people pleaser. Aaron didn't even give a single comment about, I don't know, should we? He just gave in immediately and wanted to please them. He was ready to do whatever they wanted. So Aaron said, take the gold rings from the ears of your wives, sons, and daughters, and bring them to me. And all the people took the gold rings from their ears and brought them to Aaron. Then Aaron took the gold, melted it down, molded it into the shape of a calf. And when the people saw it, they exclaimed, O Israel, these are the gods who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Somebody say, being stupid on purpose. Okay. What? You just gave him your earrings, you watched him turn it into a calf, and now you're like, hey, these are the gods who... What? I don't know, but hey, we can all be stupid sometimes. But today I want you to look at something about Aaron. You see, Aaron became a slave to the people because he immediately wanted to please them. He became their slave. He went from giving God's word to building a golden calf and collecting earrings and working really hard to please the people. Aaron was not a leader. He was a people pleaser, and that made him a slave. Do you know if God has called you to be a leader, you can't be a people pleaser. Now, that doesn't mean you just have to be rude and hurt people, but if you are a people pleaser in the sense that you can't say no, all you ever do is say yes, you won't lead long. You'll become a slave, and here's the thing about being a people pleaser. You might be able to please them today, but will you be able to please them tomorrow? You might be able to please them this week, but what about next week? Because it's funny, people have different ideas about what pleases them over time. And being a people pleaser will cause you to feel like you're living as a slave. And nobody's put you there, but you've put yourself there. Because you're unable to say no. You're maybe afraid. Maybe you just don't know how because you weren't raised that way. And all you can ever say is yes, yes, yes. And you're wore out and you're tired and you want to give up. And everything feels horrible. And there's a way to fix it. Peter, one of the apostles, and some of the others with him were captured, taken prisoner and told, don't you ever speak about Jesus again. And they got released and they went right back out and did it again and they saw some people healed. And once again, they get taken. And the Pharisees bring these apostles before them and they have this conversation with them in Acts 5:29. They say, then they brought the apostles before the high council where the high priest confronted them. We gave you strict orders never again to teach in this man's name. He said, instead, you have filled all Jerusalem with your teaching about him, and you want to make us responsible for his death. But Peter and the apostles replied, we must obey God rather than human authority. Peter was able to say no, even in the face of possible beatings, imprisonment. He was able to say no. We know what we're called to do. Peter was not a people pleaser, not anymore. He was not afraid of what others would say if he did it different. Now, we know earlier on, when they looked at him and said, "Aren't you with Jesus?" he lied and he even swore. He was having a little bit of a test of where he was at. But he had passed that test now. And he said, "You know what? I know who I am. I'm a leader." Did you know that Jesus told people, "Peter, I want you to lead my sheep"? The very guy who three times denied him is the guy he chose because he knew he had learned a lesson that he'd never forget. Never again would Peter give in to pressure to be a people pleaser. He now was a leader. And he would lead by what he heard God say, not by what he heard people say. Not even people who wore the robes of God's religious. Oh, you didn't think of that, did you? It wasn't just anybody, that was the high priest. I need you to understand something. The ultimate test of whether you are going to go forward completely free is, do you have the ability to know where you're going? Because if you want to be completely free, then you're leading your life. I've heard people say, "Oh, I just want to be free. I don't want anybody to tell me what to do." But then they have no clue what they should do if somebody's not telling them. Really? If you want to be free and you want to lead your life, you cannot be a people pleaser. Now let me say it as clearly as I have with the others. Pleasing others and saying yes doesn't make you a slave. There will be times where you please people because you want to and you know it's the right thing, and there'll be times you say yes because you know you need to and it's the right thing. But listen, if you live to please others and you are unable to say no, you may need to be set free. You may have allowed yourself to become a slave to everybody who asks. If you're feeling controlled or oppressed by others and are afraid to say or do something about it, you may need to experience freedom. And I have good news. I know somebody who wants you free. His name is Jesus. I know somebody who knows how to set people free. His name is Jesus. I heard that. Let me say that again. His name is Jesus. Now let me give you some basics. Maybe you're here today and there's some area of your life you're feeling, after hearing the message, "I don't know if I'm free in this area." You know, we didn't get into things like addictions and those different things. Those are going to be a different week. We're just talking about where there seems to be a slavery to people. But here's the answer. First, freedom begins with you admitting that there's an issue. You see, if you don't admit that there's a problem at all because, you know, you don't want to deal with it, or you're like, "You know, I'm just going to pretend everything's wonderful." If there's an area where you feel controlled or owned, you got to admit it first. "You know what? I'm not completely free. I admit it." That's the beginning. Then you make a decision to be free. So just knowing something is wonderful, but if you don't make a decision that you're going to be free, you won't be free. There's people today who have been in abusive situations and they had to make a scary decision to be free. There are people who were in horrible work situations where they were controlled and owned and they had to make a scary decision to be free. First they had to admit, "This is not healthy, this is wrong." Then they had to make a decision. Then they had to take a step. The first step you need to take if you feel maybe I'm not free, the first step you need to take is to get prayer and godly counsel. Get some prayer. It might be fixed just with prayer before anything else has to happen. Some godly counsel might turn the lights on to, "Oh, it's this or it's just that." Step number two, speak clearly to others involved who may not even realize you feel this way. I'm not telling you today to be rash and do crazy things. Prayer, talk with people involved. They might not even know you're feeling controlled or frustrated. If it's a work situation, the boss might be like, well, I just thought you liked doing that, so I always ask you, are you doing the best? You mean you actually hate that and you want to quit? Let's work this out. Talk. If you're in a relationship, maybe the other person in the relationship is a guy and they have no clue. No, maybe it's the other way. You know what? Maybe the husband or the boyfriend doesn't want to talk because they don't feel they can. You've got to talk first. Talk about it. Work on it. Step 3, set healthy boundaries and learn how to say no. Did you know it's not wrong to say no? Some people feel like it's almost a sin to say no. Well, the relatives keep asking me for money and I can't say no because they're my relatives, and aren't I supposed to be a good Christian and, you know, give them everything? No. Scripture says, give if you have to give. You know what? If you're not paying your bills because you're giving it all to your relatives, you're sinning and you're people-pleasing and you've become a slave to your relatives because you got to go work harder to pay their bills. You're like, nobody does that, do they? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because you can't say no. If you think you are sinning to say no, you're not. There are times in life you will have to say no. It doesn't make you a bad person. It makes you a wise person who has said, I will not be a slave. I will be free. Set healthy boundaries. Learn how to clearly say no. If you don't know how to do that, set a meeting with somebody who can help you. As pastors, we can help to a certain level, but I will say step 4, if you've done all this and there is still no change or there is abuse, there can be abuse in working relationships, other relationships. If there is abuse, get professional help. Don't just stay trapped. Get help. You see, a professional counselor will be able to tell you if you or the others involved just need to make some changes or if this is really a situation and you need to get out. Church, I'm not up here preaching, if it gets a little tough, you should quit. I'm not up here preaching, oh, they made me work 8 hours straight. Yeah, just suck it up, come on. That's not what we're preaching. But if truly you feel like a slave in some area of your life, then you've got to get free. Let me say those steps one more time so there's no confusion. Get prayer, speak clearly to those involved, set healthy boundaries and be okay with saying no. 4, if there's no change or there is abuse, get professional help. Like, how do I do that? You can call a pastor. We can direct you. You know, you can talk to your doctor. If you're being physically abused, you can tell your doctor. They'll put you to the right person. Don't anybody stay a slave. You're like, man, he is preaching heavy today. Oh, I want you healthy. I want you free. You know, maybe today as we preach through this, you are feeling, I think I might be maybe kind of controlling or owning somebody else. And I need to work on it. If you felt that, the steps for you, get prayer. If you need professional help, get professional help. Talk with others. Learn how to do things differently. Sometimes we were raised with a controlling parent and we just started doing the same thing when we got older without even realizing it. We didn't even think, man, I'm just giving them the what for. You know, some people grow up with an abusive parent, whacked them across the face, whatever, and they're like, I will never do that. And what happens when they have kids and the pressure comes? Get help. Don't stay there. Don't be someone who causes others to be a slave. God wants you free. Let me finish today with this. Jesus is the one who can give us complete freedom, and he wants you free even in working situations. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Jesus cares about your work situation. You need to know it. He's speaking to a large crowd, and he's saying, hey, if you're overworked and heavy burden, I've got the answer. He cares about it, and he cares about you. John 8:36, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Jesus wants you free. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free. Jesus is anointed to bring freedom. And nobody should leave here today feeling a slave in any way. In John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Totally healed, saved. Today, I need to bring this clearly to you. Maybe you're here today and you have never asked Christ to come into your life and to set you free. Maybe you have never taken that opportunity to pray and ask him to make you new. You see, true freedom begins on the inside. And you know, you might feel a slave and it's completely an internal thing, and you're going to get free today. You see, Jesus came to set us free from sin and ultimately from death, that we would be with him forever. He came and he died on that cross, shed his blood to make a way for you and I. And then he said, here it is, a free gift. And all you need to do to receive it is to believe in your heart and say it with your mouth. And so every service we take opportunity to say a prayer that just allows you to use your mouth to speak what's in your heart. And if you do that with us today, you can guarantee you will be saved. So I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer with me right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I ask you now, forgive me of all my sin. Make me new. Use my life. I thank you. I am saved. Amen. Give God praise for that today. Listen. You know, I said freedom is a journey. There are steps and there are times and there are things that God wants to do with and through you. And freedom is a journey, and sometimes it can be a fight. Did you know that God wanted his people free, and he told Moses and Aaron, go to Pharaoh and tell him, the Lord says, let my people go. Do you know that they didn't just do it one time? They did it again. And again, 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 and again. Freedom is a journey and sometimes a fight, but don't you quit. And you can tell that enemy or whatever it is that's trying to hold you in captivity, tell them the Lord said, let me go. Amen. The Lord said it. So let me pray that over you right now. Lord, I thank you for this people. Every one of them yours. Every one of them someone you created in love. And Lord, I declare for your people right now, freedom in the name of Jesus. I say addiction. I say slavery. Let the people of God go free right now in Jesus' name. Give them courage. Give them boldness. Give them wisdom to meet with others, to talk about it, and to get help if they need it. Declare this in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.